This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. There's a new book out about gerrymandering, but it's so much more than that, and it's getting a lot of attention. The author is David Daley. He's with us now. First thing, what are you calling this book on the radio?
The name of this book is Rat F***ed.
Okay. Rat bleeped it is. The subtitle is The True Story Behind the Secret Plan to Steal America's Democracy. Is that in any way hyperbole?
You know, the only word that might be hyperbole there is secret, because the Republicans announced their plan in March of 2010. Karl Rove, in big flashing neon lights on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal, says that the Republicans are going to use the redistricting process that fall to take over state legislative chambers and then redistrict Congress.
This is Red Map. Can you tell us a little bit more about Red Map?
It's a completely ingenious idea, and the amazing thing is that no one really had hit on it first. Because gerrymandering has been a game that both sides have played since the founding of the Republic. You can go all the way back to, 1790 with gerrymandering. What the Republicans realize in 2009 is that they can use this in an entirely new way if they can understand on a state-by-state level how redistricting works. And then if they set off on a specific strategy in each of those states to control every leg of redistricting so that the Democrats don't have any say in the process, even in states that may be blue states or purple states.
There are several examples, fascinating examples of gerrymandering in the book and how this was done. I want to talk about Michigan's 14th district. You devoted a whole chapter to the 14th district, and you drove the meandering border of that congressional district. What struck you about it?
It's 170 miles. It starts in some of the very poorest cities of Detroit, and it heads all the way up to Pontiac. Essentially, the axis of that district is 8 Mile Road in Detroit, and kind of underneath it, it looks sort of like a coiled snake. And then if you imagine the top half of the district is sort of the neck of the snake reaching up to the city of Pontiac, which is kind of the square head. It is one of the most oddly shaped districts in America. The goal of it is to connect the poor African-American communities in Detroit with the African-American cities up in Pontiac and to pack as many Democratic votes as you can into that district in order to make the surrounding districts more Republican. So Brenda Lawrence takes the 14th with about 78% of the vote, and the surrounding districts mostly fall to the Republicans.
Except for the 13th, which is Conyers, but it's
Conyers
too, right? Yeah.
Conyers wins with 80% of the vote. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the five Democratic districts in Michigan, those are won with 69.9% of the vote. The nine Republican districts are won with 57.7% of the vote. So that's how you get, of a 14-person congressional delegation, nine Republicans, five Democrats. Even though in 2012, for example, 240,000 more votes are cast for Democrats than Republicans, the goal is to pack them into these absurd-looking districts as strategically as you can and waste those votes. And when you drive the district, you see that it makes perfect sense what they're doing. It might look like it's just an absurd line on a map and you might not understand it. Once you start crawling into those turns, you see exactly why they're there.
So tell me what you saw.
In many cases, the district line is sort of the exact line between hope and despair in some of these neighborhoods. You often border the 9th and the 11th when you're in the 14th, which are much richer, wealthier districts. You can take a turn, and the school, instead of looking magnificent in the 11th district, looks completely run down and beaten up in the 14th. You can take a couple of turns and the house values change from hundreds of thousands of dollars to under $10,000. Over the course of the day, you keep seeing these things. And I would see a strange curve on a map and I'd be like, I'm not going to see anything interesting here. And every single time, it would just make your eyes pop. It's all so specifically done. The technology is so good at this point in time that you can do with exacting specificity exactly what the Republicans managed to pull off. And it does remap our democracy.
You talked to the guy who drew the map, Jeff Timmer. What did you make of that conversation?
Jeff is a fascinating guy and a really nice guy to spend as much time with me as he did, knowing I was the editor of Salon and probably had a different political sense than he has. I find that the map makers in these cases love to sort of be gee gosh golly about it all. They try to downplay the importance of what they're doing, even though it's really clear what they're doing. And they try and say, well, it's just there's a county line there. There's a city line there. Or I'm not as good at this as everybody else thinks. Except there's one amazing notch in the 14th where if you're driving along 8 Mile on the western edge of this district, there is a small cutout for the town of Farmington. And the town of Farmington is in the 11th. Farmington Hills is in the 14th. But Farmington, which is a town of about 10,200 people, 71% white, really a solid median income. Money magazine calls it one of the best places in America to live. They intentionally carve these 2.5 miles out and slide it someplace else. Farmington and Farmington Hills share a state rep. They do not share a member of Congress. This is all being really specifically done in order to place the voters where they want, in order to maximize their share of the total vote when you have a sense in a state like Michigan that you're going to have fewer votes. So you have to arrange where they are in these districts very artfully.
I want to go back to something you were saying earlier. Given the chance, the Democrats would draw the maps to favor their candidates. Tell me again what makes Red Map, this Republican effort, different.
Well, Red Map, to me, is different because the goal was to try and take over states in which they were 50-50 states or even blue states and give them bright red delegations.
So doesn't this just make the Republicans a little more clever than the Democrats? Isn't it that could come down to that?
It certainly is more clever. The Democrats suffered a catastrophic strategic failure when they didn't plan for this, have the vision to figure it out first, and execute it. Democrats aren't very good at playing, you know, Machiavellian hardball, as the Republicans often are. But I think we have to take our partisan hats off here and look at this as people who believe in the idea of participatory democracy and to wonder what has happened to that when, say, in a state like Michigan, 240,000 votes more for Democratic candidates than Republicans, but the delegation goes 9-5 the other way. A state like Pennsylvania, where you can have 100,000 more votes for Democratic candidates than Republican candidates, and the delegation is 13-5. And all of that adds up, and it helps give the cushion Republicans have in the House. It changes the kind of candidates that we elect to Congress when we have this many uncompetitive districts in which the only thing that matters is the party primary. So you end up with a more extreme candidate and a more extreme Congress that is less prone to compromise, less interested in governing. And it undercuts the very idea that votes matter and that participatory democracy matters.
So using a term my friend likes to use, how do we get politics out of it? What's the fix? Independent commission, a public contest for the most fair map? What do we do?
It's a great question. We are the only democracy that allows politicians to choose their own voters and make their own lines. And whenever you have politicians in the process, you will have politics in the process. And there have been great experiments with the public drawing maps, say, in Florida. It turns out that the Republican operatives were drawing those maps and enticing members of the public to submit them under their own names. You have a state like Arizona where you have a nonpartisan commission, except it's kind of still a partisan commission. It's got two Republicans, two Democrats, and an independent chair. So there becomes lots of machinations behind the scenes trying to game the system to figure out who the chair will be in a big debate over how each party can try to convince one of their own people to quietly stand in and become a Trojan horse as the chair. It's very, very hard to get politics out of this process. That said, whenever there is a referendum on nonpartisan commissions, they win. Whether it's a red state or a blue state, whether it's Florida, California, Arizona, Ohio, these are popular. I think people understand that we have to fix this. People of both sides understand that our politics have become broken and dysfunctional. Approval ratings for Congress are in the basement. They're often under 10%. And we have to find a way to get a handle on this.
That's David Daley. He's the author of what we'll call Rat Bleeped, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. Thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.